Yeah, go ahead and pull out your message notes. They're in your worship guide. It's entitled Remembering 2008. Remembering 2008. So this is the last Sunday of 2008. It's December 28th, meaning three more days until the end of the year. Now, for some of you, that's good news. How many of you have had a hard year? All right, great. How many of you have had just like a wonderful year? Okay, we're about mixed, so I want to pair you guys up so you can hear each other out. No, but you know, I love the new year because I'm kind of a forward-thinking person. I'm always excited about what's coming up next. I'm excited about what God has in store. I can't wait to see some of the things that he's going to reveal to me. But the downfall of that is I'm actually really bad at reflection and thinking back. I'm the kind of person that just goes from day to day thinking about what's coming up next. And if you were to come up to me and say, hey, what did you do yesterday? I draw a blank. And it's really embarrassing because I'm not that great at reflection. I just go from thing to thing, excited about the future, but I'm really bad at just stopping and remembering. And there's something about the new year, the end of the old year, that really provides an opportune time to just stop and think back. What has this year been like? What has God done? What have I learned? If you look at the top of your outline, there's a verse in Psalm 105:5. Why don't we read that out loud together? It starts with remember. Ready? Here we go. Remember the miracles God has done. Remember his wonders and his decisions. There's something about remembering what God has done, the miracles that God has done. Now, we talk about all kinds of commands we read in the Bible. The Bible is full of things that God tells us to do and not to do. Things like don't murder, don't steal, don't lie. But we don't talk about the command of remembering. And in this psalm, we find that God actually says, remember. It's important to remember. That is part of what it means to follow me, is to stop and reflect and remember the miracles that I have done. Remember my decisions and my wonders. And so that's what we're going to talk about. First, I want to start with, why is remembering God's miracles so important? And so my goal, before we get into that, is just to say we're going to reflect this year over 2008 and remember God's miracles this year. First, we're going to talk about why that's important, then we're going to go through some ways to do that. So why is remembering God's miracles so valuable and so important? Well, number one, remembering God's miracles is key to humility. It's really important if you want to be a humble person, if you want that to be part of who you are. Most humble people remember where they came from and what God has done in their lives. Here's the thing. If I look at my life, or this is true for any of us, we have this tendency, if we look at our lives and see the things that we have, maybe the homes we own, the jobs we have, or the family we have, our tendency, our natural tendency is to get cocky and arrogant and say, look at what I've accomplished. Look at the things I've put together. Look at my life. And it's all about the things that you and I have done. That's our tendency. We have a tendency towards arrogance. But we forget that the reason we're at now, where we are now compared to where we were last year, is because of God. If it weren't for the people God provided at the right time with the right resources, you probably wouldn't be where you are right now. It's God providing things along the way, and that we need to remember that, else we begin to think it was all us. And the key to remembering humility or becoming humble is remembering it was God that brought me from there to here. It was God that provided that person at that time with that resource that got me right here. I could have not done that. You know, we own a home right now. Now that I can just feel really a lot of pride about that. Oh, we're homeowners. That feels real good. Well, I need to remember that God provided my parents to help out a lot with that money. And there was no way we could have done that unless God provided people. There's no such thing as a self-made man. Everyone, all of us, depend on other people and God's providence to become who we are and where we're at. If it were not for God, you probably wouldn't be able to pay the bills last month. If it weren't for God, you probably wouldn't have the family you have. If it weren't for God, you could just list the things that God provided at the right time and the right resources. And you remember that, you become a bit more humble and you realize it really wasn't all about me, was it? It was God providing for me. Which is why it's helpful now and then to go back to your hometown where you grew up as a kid. Because no matter how successful you might think you've become, the people who knew you as a kid really know who you are. So for instance, I don't know what God has in store, but let's say, you know, I become wildly successful in whatever area, and I do so well. If I go back to my parents' home where I grew up, my neighbors will still call me Johnny. They're going to still remember the time I wet my pants on the way from school. They're going to remember the time I did a pop wheelie on my bike and fell on my back and was totally sore for days. No matter what I do, I'm just little Johnny, and they remember where I came from. And that's a helpful thing to just ground me, because it reminds me what God has done between then and now, and it's been God. And it works the other way. If there's someone that you really admire or respect or think really high of or put on a pedestal, all you need to do is talk to people who knew them before they were really successful, and they'll tell you all the stories. They'll think, you know, don't believe the hype. You know, so-and-so, let me tell you some stories about where that person came from. But there's something about going back to where we were from, going back to what God has done in the past, that helps us remain humble. And so it's helpful to develop humility. Here's the point in your outline. Let's read this out loud together. Deuteronomy 8:17. Ready? It says, when you become successful, don't say, I'm rich and I've earned it all myself. Instead, remember that the Lord your God gives you the strength to make a living. So instead of saying I'm rich, I've earned it all myself, instead do what? Remember. Remember that what God has done. Remember what God has done. That's the key. If you want to become humble, learn to remember what God has done in your life, and that is He that is taking you to where you are from where you were before. Humility also helps us have compassion on the hurting, and gives us humility to have compassion on those who are hurting. We often see people who are struggling, and whether we want to admit it or not, we say things to ourselves like, thank goodness I'm not that person, or I would never do what that person did, or that person is there because, and we kind of put all this stuff on us that we are here because of what we've done. Well, remembering what God has done helps us see people who are suffering, and we realize if it weren't for God in my life, I would probably be in that same situation. So it gives us humility. Make sense? Great. The other reason why it's so important, and this is what I really want to key on this morning, is that remembering God's miracles is the key to hope. It's the key to hope. I would love to be able to predict 2009 for all of us, but I can't. I don't know what God has in store. But I can say two general things, because I know who God is. One is God will surprise you. There are going to be some really good things in store for you this year. God has some great things for you. The other thing I know is that this world is not perfect, and that some tough things are going to happen in 2009. I can't predict them, but some tough trials are going to come up as well. So the question is, how do you be prepared for that? How will God take you through those turbulent times? Well, by remembering, because what you can do is you look back over how God has taken care of you in the past during trials, and you remember that, and that helps you have faith during the trials that are upcoming. So here's an example. I'll read out loud Deuteronomy 7. It says, you may be thinking, how can we destroy these nations? They are more powerful than we are. So here's the situation. The Israelites, in this particular context, have just been delivered from Egypt. If you remember the story, they were in slavery under the Pharaoh, and they were oppressed really severely. Well, God did miraculous things over a period of months that freed them from the most powerful nation. Well, now they're about to enter the promised land, the land that God promised them. And God is saying, how will we destroy the nations that are in this land that are going to be our enemies? They're more powerful than we are. And then this is what God says, but stop worrying. Just remember what the Lord your God did to Egypt and its king. In other words, you and I are going to face a lot of trials this year. The thing that's going to take us through is remembering how God delivered us from last year's trials. And what we say is, I'm not going to worry about what's going to come up because I remember when God delivered me in the past. You know, I tell the story over and over again, but when we first moved here, we had no friends. Well, my friends were my wife and my two kids. You know, we knew nobody. We had no church. We had nothing. And I would like to say I was a person of faith, that I woke up every morning saying, God, I know that you're going to gather people for this church. I just know you're good. But most nights, I would go to bed just whining to Becky, saying, I don't know if this is going to happen. How is this going to happen? We know nobody. I was not the model of your faithful pastor. But God provided anyway. And I just have been so grateful for the family that He's creating. And what that does is there's going to be trials in Edgewater next year. But what I do is I remember how God was just so abundant, how friendships have been developed, how people have grown, how people have become followers of Jesus. And I know that when there's trials, I'll say, I remember when God took us from nothing to something. And it feels like we don't have anything now, but I know God, and he's going to do it again. If you want to become a person of hope, a person who's able to face trials and know God is going to take me through this, the secret is remembering how God took you through it in the past. What has God done in the past, and how do you remember that? Another verse in Psalm 78, take a look at this. It says, how often in the desert they spurned him, tried his patience in those wilderness years. So God is talking about how when the Israelites were in the desert, they rejected him, they tested him. Time and time again, they pushed him to the limit, provoked Israel's holy God. Why did they do all this? And here's the answer. How quickly they forgot what he'd done. How quickly they forgot their day of rescue from the enemy. If you want to become a worrywart, if you want to forget about God, if you want to reject God during hard times, here's the secret. Forget about what he's done in the past. The other side is if you want to become a person of confidence, faith, courage, someone who's able to see life and know that God is for you, that God's going to deliver, remember all the ways he's taken care of you in the past. Make sense? It's the key to hope. How do I know God's going to take me through trials? Because he's done it before. Remembering how God has been faithful to you in the past will help you keep faithful to him in the future. If you want to always grab onto God during tough times, remember how he's grabbed onto you in the past. God's actions in the past give us the faith for the future. Amen? All right, well, let's talk about four tips on remembering God's miracles. How do we get practical? How do we become people who have hope, who have humility, who are good at remembering? Because we, by nature, don't do that. By nature, we just go from thing to thing. Well, here it is. Number one, make it specific. Make it specific. What I mean by this is don't just generally think about how God's been faithful, but remember specifically in the past. In fact, remember specifically in 2008, how has God been good to you? How has he been miraculous? How has he been wonderful? How has he delivered you from tough times? That's the thing, is you need to remember specific stories if you want to remember well. In the passage we're about to look at in Joshua 4, Joshua is about to cross the Jordan River, and they're about to enter the promised land. And the verse says this, now the Jordan is at flood stage during all the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carry the ark reach the Jordan and their feet touch the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. This is a miraculous thing. They need to cross a river. The priests go in. The river stops flowing. They're able to cross into the promised land. This is a specific thing they're looking back on and saying, wow, God really took us through that. Do you guys have a story from 2008 where you can think back and say, wow, God really took me through that? Think back for a moment. Where were you December 28th, 2007? Where are you now? What has God done between now and then? Can you think of something? Okay. Because our society doesn't give us time to reflect, and because I know if I say, hey, reflect when you get home, it won't happen, we're going to do it right now. So what I want you to do is on the back of your notes, some blank spot, will you just write a specific instance of how God has provided for you? A specific instance where you saw God's miracles. A specific instance where you think, you know, if it weren't for God, I wouldn't be where I am now. So take a moment right now and do that. Think of a specific time and write it down. How has God been good to you this year, specifically? I never know how much time to give for this, so if you're done, just look at me really bored, and that will give me a clue that you're finishing up. Okay, most of you have it? Good. So one of the keys to remembering and becoming a person of hope and courage and humility is remembering specifically what God's done. What are the specific stories? We have the example in Joshua, and you have examples in your own life. Number two is this. Make it a symbol. Make it a symbol. As a symbol, yeah. Now, I'll tell you what I mean. We as humans have a hereditary disease that affects all of us. And it's probably one of the worst diseases. It's not AIDS, it's not cancer, but it's the disease of forgetfulness. We have a really hard time remembering. And we need things external to us, external to our memory, to help us remember things. So for instance, if you were to go to a wedding or a graduation and you really want to remember it, what do? You take a picture, right? Why do we do that? Or a video, yeah. Why do we do that? Because our memories aren't good enough. And how many of you have looked back on wedding pictures and gone, oh, wow, I've really changed. Or that person's really changed. I forgot about that. Or I forgot that person was at my graduation. Or I forgot, because we have a disease of forgetfulness. We need things outside of us to remember. Now, back in biblical days, they didn't have cameras. They didn't have video recorders. But they would always do something to remember things that God has done. So take a look in Joshua 4, 5 through 6. This is what they do after they cross the river. It says, go into the middle of the Jordan, for each of you is to take a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. So here's the deal. They just crossed this river. They're about to enter the promised land where they know they're going to hit some trials, and God wants to help them remember. So he says, you need a symbol. You need something outside of yourself to remember. Go back into that river and grab some rocks from that river. Now, there are 12 tribes, so I want 12 of you to go and get 12 rocks and grab those rocks. And so they go back to the river and they grab the rocks. Now, hey, we're a church. We have rocks. So look under your chair. And they're spread out, but everyone should get a rock. Just go ahead and grab a rock. I have been warned that this sermon is bad. People might throw these at me, so I'm going to try to make sure that this is a good sermon. No stoning the pastor. Everyone have a rock? You also need a black Sharpie pen. Now, there are less of these, so we may need to share. So you might want to just grab them. If someone doesn't have one, make sure your neighbor has one, because we'll be able to share. So look for black Sharpies. Tony, can you pass that one back? Or okay, so this is our chance. This is your memorial, but this is your memory helper. On one side of the rock, write your first name. Just write your first name. The Sharpies are helpful for this because I don't think pens will do very well on these rocks. So write your first name on the rock. And once you do that, on the back side, you don't have space for your whole specific story that you wrote down, but maybe write down a couple words or a phrase that will help you remember the specific story you wrote down. Does that make sense? So I share the story of Edgewater. I put my name on one side on the back. I put faith that God will provide. So that's my little phrase. Just remember that situation of God providing. So write down something that will remind you of the specific situation on the other side of the rock. Make sense?
Can you draw a picture?
You can draw a picture. Yeah, even better. Say it again? Thanks. Yeah, yeah. People are thinking how to do home improvement. Hey, these are great rocks. Hey, $4.95 for a whole bag at Osh, so just let you know. 50 per bag. Yeah, there you go. All right, you guys got it? Okay. So number one is we need to be specific if we want to remember. We have to think of something specifically that God has done. Two is we need a symbol. We need something outside of ourselves. And Cheryl brought something up really interesting. Is we have a hard time, humans have a hard time remembering words. We have a hard time remembering what we hear. We have a hard time remembering what we read. But we do a lot better remembering something we see. And that's why symbols is really important. So symbols are just, we need something outside of ourselves to remember. So that's number two, is make it a symbol. You're going to take these home, but before we do that, number three is this: make it viewable. Make it viewable. And what I mean by this is you can take this home and put it in a closet, you can put it in your drawer, you can put it somewhere where you'll never see it again, but that kind of ruins the point. The point is you want to put it in a place where you're going to see it regularly so that you can remember what God has done and you can give him thanks. You become a person of hope and a person of humility as 2009 begins. And this is what they did in Joshua's story. In Joshua 4:9, it says, Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of Jordan at a spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. So what Joshua is doing, he's saying, you know what, we got these 12 stones, but we need to put them in a place where every day as a camp, we're going to see them. So all 12 stones were put in the middle of the camp. So when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you see is these 12 stones. When you're doing your errands throughout the day, the first thing you see as you're walking around are these 12 stones. And the idea is it's a memorial before them every day to remind them of God's miraculous work in their lives so that when they face whatever comes up, they have hope and courage in God. They remember. So we're going to do that as a church. You are going to get your rocks back, so you're not giving away. But what I want to do is make a little memorial, just like they did back then. And I'm going to move these things. But what I want you to do is at your own pace, go ahead and put your rock up here. If you put something personal on the rock, you don't want anyone to see it, just put your name side up so no one sees it. But we're going to sing a song called Tu Fidelidad, which means your faithfulness. Is that right, Amy?
Yes.
And so as we're doing that, go ahead and put your rock right up here. We're going to build a little memorial just to say thank you to God for all that he's done. So as we start singing, come on up.
Tu fidelidad es grande. Tu fidelidad incomparable es. Nadie como Señor Jesús, grande es tu fidelidad. Your faithfulness is great, O Lord. Your faithfulness is beyond compare. There is none like you, Lord Jesus.
Just imagine the Israelites after crossing the Jordan setting up a memorial in their camp that might have looked something like this, that was in the center of their camp, and they would just wake up and see a symbol of the way God provided for them. Now, we know from the Bible that the Israelites went through a lot of battles, went through a lot of ups and downs, but they had this memorial in front of them the whole time to remind them, God was good. He'll be good again. It's the key to hope. It's the key to humility. It's just remembering all that God has done. Amen? The fourth and final point is very similar. It's make it a story. Make it a story. Joshua 4, 6 and 7 says this. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. In other words, down the road, your kids who don't remember what just happened, they weren't even around when we crossed the Jordan. They're going to look at these stones and say, what's this about? And God is saying, that's your chance to tell the story. Tell them what God took you through. It's a way to pass on to future generations the faithfulness of God. Because we have the disease of forgetfulness. If we don't forget, our kids will. Or if they don't forget, the grandkids will. But the question is, how do we keep alive the goodness of God? How he's been good to us? How do we keep the stories alive? And so one way to do that is put the rocks in a place that's viewable. But when people ask, for you to be able to say, let me tell you the story. Let me tell you what happened. This is where I was, and this is where I am now. And I want to tell you how God provided and all that. Make sense? So I want to give us a little time. It's a little unrehearsed, but some of you have stories that I think are really worth sharing with the rest of the church of a way God has been good to you. You've written that story down on the rock or on your paper you put up here. This isn't like, you know, give another sermon time. This is a 30-second, you know, maybe stand up and share a story of a way that God's been faithful. It may not feel like it's significant to the church, but it's significant to you. Either way, I think it'll be an encouragement to tell the story. We need to hear these stories because they remind us of God's goodness and his faithfulness. So I just want to give you guys a chance. Maybe just stand up where you are and maybe share for about 30 seconds. Here's what my rock represents. Here's the story I want to tell. Make sense? Okay, so who wants to do it first? That's always a question. All right, Pete, yeah, go ahead and stand up. Okay, Lala, go ahead and stand up.
About this time last year, he was in the hospital diagnosed with colon cancer. Mm-hmm. And after much prayer, you know, saw the family and all, about a week later when the test came back, there was no cancer. We know that God healed.
Amen, amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lala. That's great. Yeah. Good, yeah.
Well, for Emma, my wife, she had blood clot that was up in here, and then by the time they went in through the surgery and whatnot, there was nothing there to be found. Yeah. And of course, the incident that we just had with the cancer, the biopsy of the cancer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
About this time last year as well, Noah had his valve, the aortic valve was about 50% closed, and they were already talking that they were going to have you know, open it up like an angioplasty type thing, and, you know, from then, he would only have been able to be able to have, like, maybe one or two of those balloons, and they would have that heart surgery, so, you know, it was pretty grim looking, and at this point, his valve is 65% open, so he's doing a lot better, and we don't even have to see the doctor for another year. So it's really good. Goodness.
That's great. Great. Other stories? Yes, yeah, sorry. Cheryl, go ahead.
Ken has a hard hit. in August of this year, I was in a pre-op appointment to have my hand repaired. And I get a phone call from my son, get home. Dad's fallen. The ambulance is here. We're on our way to the hospital. And in the consultation appointment, they told me it'll be about 6 months for him to go back to work. He went back to work half the time in November, 1st of November.
That's great.
And he's probably back to work full time at the semester in February.
That's great. Great. Good stories. Yeah. Yeah, Pete.
Same thing. This time last year, my wife was telling me, you know what, hon? She says, we've got to find another church because it's too hard for me to drive.
Yeah.
Especially at night, I can't see in the fog or the rain. So God provided Edgewater here. So
praise God.
Just thank God. That was from him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Good. Maybe a couple more. That's good. Yeah, Jared.
Throughout all of last year,
yeah,
God's been faithful to me and just helping me stay on track, because within the past few years, I've struggled with addictions and other problems that I've been through in my life. And throughout the past year, God has been there for me every single day.
Yeah.
And I praise him daily and in the Word.
Amen. That's right. Good. Yeah, Amy.
There was this time about the middle of last year when I was living on peanuts and VA juice. Laugh, but it's true. And wasn't sure where I was going to live. But some people opened up their home, and since then God has provided me with a place to live and the church and all of those things.
Great, great, good. Great. Anyone else dying to share and you regret not sharing? All right. Why don't we, let me pray and just give God thanks for all the ways he's been good to us this year. Let's pray. God, thank you. I know there are even more stories, Lord, of the ways that you have been faithful to us. And we want to just thank you, and thank you for this time to remember. And God, we ask that we would never lack confidence in you for the future. We pray that we would never abandon our faith in you or our confidence in you. That we would know that the same God who provided for us this year will provide for us next year. So we hold on to you tightly, God, knowing that you are good and that you are powerful, and that no eye can see and no ear can hear and no mind can even imagine the things you have store for those who love you. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen. So what we want to be doing is becoming a people who remember, who take time to reflect. Like I said, it's helpful to be specific. Make something or have something as a symbol. Make it viewable. Put it somewhere where people will see it, where you'll see it on a regular basis. Some people use Post-its and put it on their mirrors in their bath. Whatever it is, whatever you need to do to remember, and remember who God is and how he's taking care of you. And to make it a story so that when people ask, you can say, this is what happened. This is why we have this symbol here. This is why we're doing this. Let's read this last verse, 1 Samuel 7:12, to get at the bottom of your outline. Ready? Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. Now this is a totally different story with Samuel. And I won't go into the whole story, but the same thing is God did something amazing. He got a stone, he set it up, and he said, this stone is going to be a reminder to me that thus far the Lord has helped us. And that is a good, good thing. I just want to say I'm incredibly excited about what God has in store for us, both for what God is going to be doing in your lives and your family and what he's going to be doing as a church. We have a lot of good things coming up. We'll be starting growth groups in February, which are going to be our small groups. We're going to start a series called the Jesus Challenge. We're going to read through the Gospel of Mark together as a church and discuss it in small groups together and hear sermons on Sunday. Really excited about that. We're starting an advising team. I'll introduce the team next month, but a group of us who are going to, for 6 months, advise me as we go forward with the church. We're going to be doing more fellowship activities. There's going to be all kinds of things coming up, but I'm just excited for what God has in store. There are also going to be tough times as well, but we know that God has taken us this far, and we have faith for next year as well. Amen? Great. Well, let me pray for us. God, thank you again, and we just pray, Lord, that we would become people who remember. Help us with our diseases, forgetfulness, and make us people of hope, Lord. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Great. You are allowed to take your rocks back once the service is over. Just look for your rock and don't grab anyone else's rock. It's for them.